All right, tonight we're going to be looking at the topic, the blessings of being a child of God. And this is one of those lessons that, while it's not part of the family and faithfulness series that we are doing this year, nevertheless, it touches on some things that are related to that. And so it's a good supporting lesson to keep our minds on that particular topic as we continue to think about those things this year. But this particular lesson is about how we as children of God have access to a tremendous number of blessings, being God's children. And these blessings are so great. I want us to start by looking at 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. And John writes these words. He says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Now, John is just so grateful here in this passage and is so thankful that he is a child of God. And he wants to share that with those to whom he is writing this letter. And he said, it's a great thing that we are children of God, and how great love God has for us that we can be His children. John was written to encourage faithful Christians to remain true to Christ. And there was a great threat, you see, to the Christians at that time of false teachers coming in and taking away their faith. And so this book was written so that they could be faithful. And John is trying to remind them of the great blessings that they have in Christ so that they don't fall away to the sensual perversion of the gospel that these false teachers were trying to bring in to the church at this time. And if you think that we're in a different situation today, we are not. The world has basically gone this direction, brought in sensual perversion to the gospel. And John stands against that kind of thing, and we need to stand against it as well. This book encourages Christians to keep God's commandments, to remember to be faithful to Him regardless of what the situation might be. It encourages us to love one another in the sense of true love, not false sensual love that the world would offer and that these false teachers would offer, but the true love that God has for us and that we ought to have for Him and for one another. And it encourages us to be faithful to the Lord. In encouraging the faithful, John cannot help but make this magnanimous exclamation of what a wonderful blessing it is to be a child of God. And in fact, a great demonstration of God's love, it is that we are called God's children. Just to know that we have that relationship with God that really no one in the world has is something very special. And it involves a tremendous amount of blessing. Well, let's think about what it means to be a child of God tonight and the blessings that come from being a child of God. First of all, to be a child of God is to have the blessing of forgiveness. One of the most important things that a father can teach his child is forgiveness. Children make mistakes from the smallest to the oldest. They all make mistakes. And they even, when they get older, they commit sin. And that is something that children need forgiveness for. Good fathers know how to forgive their children and to continue to raise them appropriately. There are poor, poor fathers out there who do not. But good fathers do. And moreover, we forgive our children even when they don't know they're doing wrong. You know what? That's a lot of the time. Our children just don't know. We need to educate them. We need to train them. They need to be taught what the right thing to do is. They need to be taught what the right attitudes to have are. You know, that's something that's even more difficult sometimes than doing the right thing. We want our kids to do the right thing, but we want them to have the right attitude also. And that's something that we've got to teach them as well. We've got to instill it. We've got to be able to recognize when they have a bad attitude, and we need to tell them, now look, you need to change that attitude. That's not the right attitude to have. And so, but oftentimes children are ungrateful, they are selfish, they are disobedient, and yet, do we say when, you know, well, three strikes and you're out, you know, see you later? No, we continue to train and to instruct and to correct. And it's almost as if Jesus was prophetic, you know, when he said, you should forgive 7 times 70, right? With children especially. Because they can make a lot of mistakes and they can do a lot of bad things. But good fathers will forgive their children. And our Father in heaven is a good Father. He is the best that there is. In James 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And the idea there is that God gives good gifts to His children without regret, and He does it without taking it back. And he doesn't give the same way that we do. A lot of times we will give and we will hold on to that gift. We will expect something out of it. But that's not how God gives. He gives graciously, magnanimously. In Matthew 7:11, there Jesus talks about how God is a good giver. It says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? And so, you know, that particular argument there that Jesus makes is this. Look, if you people who have been tainted by sin can give good gifts to your children, and you can do that, how much better is God than we are in giving those gifts? And how much of a better Father is He going to be to us when we need forgiveness? He is going to forgive, you see. And how do we know that? Because we know how to forgive. And that's the point that we're trying to make about God this evening. He is the greatest forgiver. In Psalm 86 and verse 5, we read, for Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. In Daniel 9:9, we read, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, we read, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14, one of my favorite passages of the Old Testament, the psalmist writes these words, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him, for He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. What a blessing it is to be a child of God, because children of God have forgiveness. You know, those who are children of, or are not children of God do not have forgiveness. It's only those who are children of God who have this great blessing. What a blessing it is. But then secondly, to be a child of God means to have the blessing of family. And when we think about families and the blessing of family, you know, to be a father means to have a family. Good fathers are faithful to their families. A good father is going to provide for his family. He's going to defend his family. He's going to promote peace and harmony among his family. And when a child has a good family with a good father and a good mother, that situation is a great situation. Many, many children in this world don't have such great families. But the child of God has a tremendous family. And we want to talk about that blessing tonight. The blessing of the child of God's family is the church, because that's God's family today. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote these words. He said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Notice he said, the house of God. It's the house of God. That's the church. The church is the house of God. House of is another way of saying the family of, more or less. And so that's what the church is. The church is God's family. And that's what we are. And it's a great blessing to be part of the family of God. In Hebrews 3:6, we read, "But Christ as a son over his own house." Jesus is the elder brother in this family. And that means he's the heir. He's the one who inherits all things. And being the elder brother, then, he has the responsibility of being the one who is over the family of God. And notice the Hebrew writer says, whose house we are. We are in the family of Jesus. What a great blessing that is. If, it's conditional, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And so God's family today is the church, and God has been faithful to his family, and he wants us to be faithful to him as well. But think about Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, that this family is the place of the saved. That's what the church is. Jesus saves the body, which is the church. Okay, he's the savior of the body, the church. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us. That means that if you're not in the body, if you're not in the church, you're not saved. Okay, that's all there is to it. He's only going to save his family. Those are the only ones that are going to be saved. And so Acts 2 and verse 47 tells us, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Notice the connection there between the church and the saved. The church is the place of the saved. What a great blessing it is to be part of the family of God. And God provides for the church. The world does not have this promise of God's special providence. In Acts 20, verse 28, we read, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." The elders have the job of feeding the church of God. It was purchased by the blood of Christ. And God provides in that way, you see, by helping us to grow, to become spiritually mature, so that we can be part of this and continue to be part of this great family. God gives direction through Christ in the church. Ephesians 1 and verse 22, he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And so Jesus is the head, and that means he's the one who provides the direction for this family. God desires to keep this family pure. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God nourishes and cherishes his family. Ephesians 5:29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. So you see, to be in the family of God is to have a tremendous amount of blessing, because we are part of the body of Christ. We are His people. We are His family. And that's another great blessing of being a child of God. We get to be in the family of God, to have the special provision of God, to have access to all spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. But then fourth, to be a child of God means to have the blessing of a father. A father. Having a father is a blessing in and of itself. You know, good fathers want that personal relationship with their children. They want to enjoy the blessing of their children, and they have a great time with their children if they're good fathers. They want what is good for their children. They want to bless their children, to help their children. Good fathers will discipline their children because it's good for them, because they know that that discipline will help them to grow and to mature. Good fathers will provide for their children. They will provide work for their children to do so that they can learn responsibility and that they can become productive members of society. Good fathers will provide recreation for their children, to give them time to relax and to enjoy life. Good fathers will teach their children. There will be time when they have opportunity to talk to them and to instruct them in the right way. And so it is a blessing to have a father. And as God's family, as God's people, we have God as our Father. What a blessing that is. Because there's no greater Father than God the Father. In Romans 8 and verse 15, we read, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." God wants us to have a close personal relationship with Him as our Father and with Jesus as our brother. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, we read that God will be a father to you, to us, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We have the blessing of being able to talk to our Father in prayer. Matthew 6 and verse 9, Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." A child wants to talk to his father. He should want to have conversation with his father. Our Father knows what our needs are, even down to a very personal level. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Matthew 6 and verse 32. Our Father shows mercy to His children. "Be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Luke 6 and verse 36. He wants His children to worship Him. John 4 and verse 23. "The hour cometh and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him." Our Father teaches us. John 6 and verse 32. Jesus said to them, "Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives it you the true bread from heaven." Our Father protects us from spiritual harm. John 10 and verse 29. Jesus said, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." Our Father also disciplines us appropriately. Hebrews 12, 6 through 7. "For whom the Lord loves, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Our Father is the one to whom we give thanks for all the blessings that come upon us. Colossians 3 and verse 17. "And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Yes, a father is a great blessing. The child of God has a fourth blessing that we want to discuss this evening. And that blessing is the blessing of felicity, joy. Happiness, sometimes we call it. A good father wants his children to be happy. He wants them to have joy in their life. What father is there that looks at his children and says, I want you to be utterly miserable all the time? Not a good father does that, no. But some fathers may do that. Good fathers will go out of their way to make their children happy, to see the joy in their eyes, to experience the joy that they have in living life and accomplishing things and seeing good days ahead of them. Good fathers will provide for their children clothing, shelter. They want them to have a good life. I don't know if a good father doesn't feel like that. Well, God, our Heavenly Father, has certainly provided for our happiness. He wants us to live for Him so that we will experience the joy that life truly has to offer. You know, good fathers will guide their children. He won't let the children do things that are going to bring them into bad, painful, difficult, terrible situations. Because if he's a good father, he knows what will bring good things and what will bring bad things. And our Heavenly Father is even better than earthly fathers in the sense that He created us and He knows exactly what is good for us and exactly what will bring us the greatest amount of joy and exactly what good things will come our way if we live for Him. In John 15, verses 10 and 11, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." You see, God doesn't say the things he says. He doesn't do the things he does. He doesn't command the things that he commands without granting with those things when we do those things, hear those things, obey those things. He doesn't do any of that without providing blessing along with it. You see, that's why we love God so much. Because He is perfectly good. And He cannot command anything that is going to bring evil upon us. He wants us to be saved and thus have both happiness here and in eternity. To have joy forever, from the time we're baptized until the time that we pass on to the next life and in the next life. He gives us a kingdom in which to live. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He provides for the resurrection from the dead. "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. He has a place for His children to live eternally. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." What a blessing it is to know that our Father desires our happiness, our joy, our blessing in this life. Think about the blessings of being a child of God this evening. And we've just looked at four of them. What are those blessings again? Number one, forgiveness. Number two, a family. Number three, a father. And number four, felicity. What a wonderful blessing it is to be a child of God. Do you need to become a child of God this evening? To be born again into the family of God. Jesus said in John chapter 3 that except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Maybe someone is here tonight who needs to be born of the water and of the Spirit this evening. They're hearing the words of Jesus and believing them, repenting of their sins, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can be born into the family of God. Maybe you need the prayers of the church tonight to help you to count your blessings, especially these wonderful spiritual blessings that we have. Maybe something has robbed you of your joy, and you want that back, and you need prayer in order for that to happen, why not ask for those prayers tonight so that the church can lift their voices up together to pray with you and for you and help you in your journey. Whatever your need may be this evening, we invite you to come now while together we stand and while we sing.